Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 73. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about calcium correction in the ICU, answer the drug information question, what weight should be used to calculate an initial dose of IV immune globulin, and share a resource about open access medical journals. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode73. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article for this episode is titled Ionized Calcium in the ICU. Should it be measured and corrected? The author is Scott Aberegg. And this was published in the journal Chest in March 2016. And I'd like to give a shout out to Intensivist Anna for bringing this review article to my attention. Calcium is vital for many functions, including muscle contraction and coagulation. It's actually also called clotting factor 4. Abnormal calcium levels in ICU patients are a common occurrence, but these levels are not usually due to a disorder in calcium homeostasis. Routine monitoring and correction of calcium levels is commonplace in many ICUs, including my institution. However, routine efforts to correct the serum calcium level only treat the laboratory number. There's no evidence that replacement has an effect on patient morbidity and mortality. The author of this review article makes the point that routine correction of calcium levels appears to be guided by the quest for euboxia. Now, from the blog lifeinthefastlane.com, I have the explanation of what euboxia is. Euboxia is the pathophysiological state whereby all boxes on a pathology printout are in the normal range. Many people working in critical care settings experience an insatiable desire to achieve this state for their patients. Unfortunately, finding a blood test abnormality does not mean that correcting it will make the patient better. Specific scenarios where monitoring and replacement of calcium are warranted might include hypomagnesemia, massive transfusion due to the amount of citrate anticoagulants in the transfused blood, which will chelate the calcium, parathyroid disease, and drug effects such as from cisplatin. In addition to calling for a prospective trial to evaluate the usefulness of calcium replacement, the author of this review article concluded, dramatic curtailment of calcium measurement and calcium administration in several studies was not associated with worsening outcomes. The absence of high-quality data to guide practice allows for a spectrum of approaches to the measurement and treatment of calcium, but these approaches should be guided by basic principles of rational clinical decision-making. Widespread protocolized measurement and administration with the simple goal of normalizing values in the name of euboxia should be discouraged. I plan to discuss the results of this review article at the next critical care committee at my institution, and I will let you know where it leads. I'm really interested to know, do you monitor and replace calcium routinely in your electrolyte protocol, or do you not do so? Please leave a comment at the show notes, pharmacyjoe.com/episode73, or send an email to joe@pharmacyjoe.com. Let me know what you do. The drug information question for this episode is, what weight should be used to calculate an initial dose of IV immune globulin? And my answer is, it's reasonable to use ideal body weight or adjusted body weight to calculate the initial dose and make changes based on clinical response. There are no randomized prospective trials to provide a conclusive answer to this question. In just 11 adult patients that are studied, the correlation between the dose of IVIG and the change in IgG level was strongest when doses were calculated using ideal body weight versus adjusted or actual body weight. And I have a link to this article in the show notes. The American Academy of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology posted a discussion on the topic on their website. And this is not a position paper by this academy, but just a discussion. And an expert states it's reasonable to start with ideal body weight, but the dose may have to be adjusted. And the same expert is one of the authors of the up-to-date article on the subject. That article suggests using ideal or adjusted body weight for the initial dose calculation. There's certainly a lack of high-quality evidence in this area. I think it's reasonable to use ideal body weight or adjusted body weight to calculate the initial dose, and then changes can be made based on the patient's clinical response. The resource I'd like to share with you is the Directory of Open Access Journals. DOAJ is an online directory that indexes and provides access to high-quality, open-access, peer-reviewed journals. Over 11,000 journals and 2 million articles are part of this directory, and you can get a link to it in my show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode73. Listeners can support the show when they shop using my link to Amazon. It will cost you no extra money, and I will receive a small commission from Amazon. Just use my link, pharmacyjoe.com/shop, to take you to Amazon each time you shop. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.